All right, Arlene, let's go to the world of film now. Marvel franchise you're bringing us to, first of all, and Black Widow, two films, in fact, and Wonder Woman 1984. Let's talk about Black Widow, first of all. One of the things that worries me about the Marvel series, do you have to know everything about what's going on, or can you just say, do you know what, I'm going to go to this film and I'll pick up, I don't need to know the entire universe.
Marvel fans will know every bolt and nook and cranny of the films and the characters and stuff, but this works as a standalone film as well, but it's not, it's just the timing of it, because it's set in between different, it's before Infinity War, and you know, it's before. I don't want to give the plot away of Infinity War in case somebody hasn't seen it on the planet. Yeah.
But if you know the Marvel Universe, you'll know exactly where it fits in. But you think this will work? Possibly.
I think it'll just go in and look. Work as a standalone because there's new characters introduced to it.
Right. Well, tell us who the Black Widow of the title is, first of all.
Okay, so Black Widow is played by Scarlett Johansson. It's Natasha Romanoff. She's the Black Widow. She would be part of the Avengers, and so she was sort of. Had always come from, known to be coming from Russia, but not very little was known about her. She had flashbacks in various different movies, and they knew she had a lot of specialised training. She's a KGB agent. She was also an assassin at one point. So she has this really sort of powerful backstory. And in Black Widow, she is going back to Russia to find out what's going on. And she meets her sister there. Not necessarily her sister, but someone who came from the same stable as...
Trained as spies. Nasty spies. And Florence Pugh is the actress playing here.
Straight out of a very successful Midsommar. Mm. So she's playing the sister. She's playing the sister. Rachel Weisz is in it. Yeah. And she's connected up. And David Harbour from Stranger Things, he's in it. He's sort of playing the Captain America version, but the Russian version of Captain America. So he's the Red Protector. And he's actually looks very, very funny in it, because David Harbour's a very physical actor, and he's not typical of Marvel characters. He's not sculpted. He's not, it's a scene where he's trying
on. Portly. Cozy.
He's robust. He's a robust, husky, robust figure. And there's this absolutely brilliant scene where he's trying on the old sort of superhero outfit. And
he's delighted that he can get into it.
He's very excited. It still fits. There's an interesting dynamic, because when you have these kind of actors, and I haven't seen the film yet, but from watching the trailer, it just strikes me as slightly, please, Marvel fans, don't kill me, but slightly less po-faced.
I was going to say, is it terribly serious, or is there a bit of tongue-in-cheek involved here?
Oh, there's definitely a bit of tongue. Yeah. David Harbour, you can't not have a bit of tongue-in-cheek. And then Rachel Weisz looks like she's having the time of her life in it as well, because she's, she was in Constantine and things like that. She knows exactly how to handle this sort of thing. And they've all got these crazy accents, apart from Natasha Romanoff, who doesn't,
The Scarlett Johansson character.
Yeah, so Florence Pugh, it just sounds like she just came straight from the Kremlin, and Rachel Weisz as well.
Central casting version of maybe so,
but it's actually kind of entertaining, because she's the fight scenes and the choreography looks incredible. I have to say, Black Widow, because she doesn't have powers. She's not a super villain. So she does a lot of wrestling and a lot of physicality, and Florence Pugh matches her stride by stride in this as well. It looks great.
And Wonder Woman 1984.
Well, she has powers.
Yeah, she certainly does.
I love Wonder Woman. This is the
reboot version with Gal Gadot, isn't it? Yeah. And there's a new character coming in here as well, isn't there?
Yeah, that's right.
Who is it?
It's played by Kristen Wiig, and she's Cheetah. Anyone that reads comics, they're going to have a blast with this. I don't want to give away anything either, but she's an amazing, she's a super villainess.
Yeah, because what you kind of wonder about is, you have Kristen Wiig, obviously this great comic actress, but is she going to be able to do that action stuff, or how is that going to work?
I think so. She can do Sinister very well when she needs to do Sinister. And just the fact that you're thrown by her, because you immediately expect her to be funny, and you expect her to be that slightly sardonic, kind of funny. And she, ingratiates her way into Gal Gadot's character, and she becomes her friend, essentially. And, she starts to develop powers later on. So, and there's a whole shift in her personality when she develops powers, which I think is fairly acceptable. I think if I develop powers, there'll be a shift in my personality too. I'm not giving anything because the trailer's there. So Steve from the original film comes back. Now, I don't know how he gets back in this film, because
we saw him die, but he's back in it somewhere or other.
But he's in 1984 now. So in the original film, she couldn't understand what was going on in when she came to Earth. So in this film, he hasn't a clue what's going on either. She's going around with her and she's explaining, this is art. And he's ogling bins and admiring the bins. She goes, no, that's just a trash can. And so there's all this kind of interesting, it's a flip from the first one. So he's in her world now.
Right. And the 1980s will give lots of occasion reputation for bad music and terrible hairdos and terrible shoulder pads.
Yeah, and really amazing shopping malls, which are some of the scenes in the shopping malls where she's using the lasso. That looks, it looks really good. The filming on it is great. It's Patty Jenkins again, and she just knows exactly how to play to all the strengths of the superhero aspect of it.
All right, although two films to look forward to then from Arlene, Black Widow and Wonder Woman 1984. Declan, you were speaking, Declan Burke, you were speaking earlier on about how you spent different periods of your life giving yourself over to classical music for one period, giving yourself over to jazz music for another period. So I'm guessing that the choice that you have for us in terms of music, in terms of jazz music, is related to that time that you spent listening to jazz.
It very much is. Specifically the Blue Note label, which, you know, as a complete neophyte when it came to jazz, this was a complete revelation for me. For people who, like me, until very recently, don't know about the Blue Note label, it was established in 1939. German Jewish refugees who discovered this music did not know what they were listening to, but they knew they loved it, and they just literally went out into the streets of New York, went to the clubs and said, play whatever you want, we will record it. And they recorded Miles Davis, Thelonious Monk, Horace Silver, Bud Powell, Sonny Rollins, John Coltrane. You know, it's a roll call of the jazz greats, and they kind of, Blue Note served as a springboard. Art Blakey, who's the artist I'm going to talk about here, probably not as much of a household name as those artists, but he should be. Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers. Buhena's Delight is one of the last of a kind of series of classic reissues that Blue Note have been, they started early last year, and I think it's April is when it'll finish up this year, and Buhena's Delight is one of the April issues. It's kind of, you know, again, someone who's not an expert, what I'm told is it kind of signals the move from hard bebop into a much more kind of complex, melodic, harmonious type of jazz that was kind of going to lead into the kind of West Coast sound and much more complex type of jazz. And Art Blakey, what I like about it, I'm not a big fan of jazz drumming as a rule, but he's an incredibly generous band leader. You would hardly know he's here on this album half the time. Other times, of course, he's knocking lumps out of the studio walls, which is terrific too. Terrific album. It's been remastered. Rudy Van Gelder was the in-house producer with Blue Note. They're using his production, and that's what's been remastered. So I'm really looking forward to hearing that version of the album.
Right, and we have a track from it here. Backstage Sally is the track. Let's have a listen and get a sense of what you're talking about.